And the long-awaited, much-debated, finally ready to roll, the Stunt Granny Audio is back to actually talk about some wrestling for a change that is present day. The efforts of one Dusty Giebink and Jordan are not going unnoticed, but here to join me is half of that crew.
Yeah, the lesser half, anyway. I'm gonna be carried here by you today, and then by Jordan tomorrow. So, a lot of weight to fall. So I hope you're up to it.
Well, you have an hour extra nap on me, so maybe you might. I think you can surpass me in the sharpness here.
Okay.
It's almost getting to the AM stage of my day here, so this should be a fun one. I have just completed a game of volleyball in 46 degree weather in sand. I did not wear shoes.
Oh.
My feet really got to the point that they were so numb that I stopped kind of feeling them until after we got off the sand.
Sure. Mhm.
Yeah, it was.
You just can't feel them anymore.
Yeah, and I honestly did not realize how cold they were until I put my socks back on after the game.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I started to go, oh my God, my feet are fucking freezing right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was definitely only a temporary effect, but that's how my evening's gone right now. So this should be a fun, rollicking edition of Stunt Granny Audio here.
And I beg to differ, because I don't find anything about today's wrestling fun. So,
yeah, isn't that the sad truth?
Yeah. It's just real quick, a cheap plug for our message board. I thought it was real funny. Rikishi made a post where he's like, spoiler alert, giving away the next 10 weeks of Raw. And it was all about the formula that they use, you know, for booking Raw. And it was just dead on in most cases.
Yeah, and I even went through it and,
Right, yeah.
Went, okay, I've only watched half of it, and at least three quarters of it had already come true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think other pieces of it came true after I got done watching it, which
probably was
even sadder, because there was, I hadn't watched the one match with all the women in it yet.
Right.
So that ended up happening. And then the main event, because he had said the mid-main event with, like, you know, the three or four people, and then the main event with three or four people, which is, you know, appropriate. I mean, that's all you need is four names in there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, like, you know, the mid-main event and the main event were essentially the same match.
Yep, absolutely.
Just throw in Randy Orton in the second match and, you know, it went in with the formula. It was the, you know, within that realm of people. Like, it was really quite sorry. Like, it was, he had at least, the only thing was different is that the guest host actually introduced Triple H, didn't she?
Yes.
Which was kind of weird, I've got to admit. But he was pretty close. I mean, I was just a little bit backwards, but, it was the right idea.
Right. And so what I was driving at is, as long as they're following this formula, why do you even need to watch the show, you know?
I honestly do this out of some moral obligation I feel I have to our site. It's like, okay, I have got to go through with this. Like, right now, I do still miss the first hour of TNA, but I record the second hour now, and Well, and I'm recording the third hour as it is today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, SmackDown is about the only show I really like right now. And Jeremy even kind of talked me out of it a little bit, like, and I can't really blame him.
I don't know. I look forward to
it. I was saying the benefits of having Mickey James and Beth Phoenix over there, like, just kind of aided a show that I had already liked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and maybe we should bring that up. You made an excellent post detailing the trade that just went down.
Yeah.
This is really bizarre. It was announced by the guest host.
Yeah. Both of the big trades this year have been by guest hosts, which I thought was a little bit strange.
Exactly.
And neither of them, like, because Vince McMahon, because I actually went back and looked for that, the posts on that. I think I included one of the links, but Vince McMahon actually announced the trade after Donald Trump was actually off, though.
Yes.
Because I did go back and look that up so that I was not completely in the inaccurate phase of my report there. So, I mean, I guess technically Trump didn't announce it, but he did execute it.
Right.
Much as Nancy O'Dell did.
Right.
And she's kind of hot for an older broad, I've got to admit.
Yeah. She's doing okay for herself.
Yeah.
We put her in the Courtney Cox territory, where she's a little bit up there in age, but she still does the job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I actually did not mind that guest host.
it was workable.
And what's her name? Oh, and the one point that I want to make, oh, my God, like, they had a professional backstage announcer. Essentially, and Maria Menounos. And she was just an example of what their announcers need to do, like, in the backstage area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was concise. She delivered her message. She was, like, strong, like, in her delivery.
Yeah, it was like
they all seemed so timid and laid back and, I was like, wow, like, really, she just schooled everybody. And, like, I'm not even saying, like, she's, like, a great reporter or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Like, but she does her job at a much better level than, in which I think can be attained by the wrestling people.
Yep.
You know, I think it's within their grasp. Like, I'm not going to emanate them for Emmys or anything ever at any point or something weird like that. But I think that they could all always be a little bit better. And, like, I think she kind of showed that off. Like, they could be that much better at least.
Sure.
And it was kind of scary, too. She was kind of solid in the ring. Like,
Yeah.
I wouldn't have trusted her in a 10-minute singles match or anything crazy like that.
Right.
But, like, for being a one-time kind of participant, whatever they taught her and whatever time frame she learned it in was, I'm guessing, fairly short and kind of impressive in my book.
Right. I mean, what, did the match only go, like, 3 minutes? That's fine for a TV match, so...
Yeah, I can't. I'm going to scroll down to this here. Oh, that was so weird.
But it was passable. It was not horrible. It didn't make me angry like most things do these days. So.
Yeah, two minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, yep. Perfect for what it was.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, Maria Menounos, she learned way more than, like, I mean, I think Kelly is starting to develop, and that's the one that I didn't even think about in that post about the women's division, because I didn't really go over both rosters per se, because I just went over the peoples themselves and what they would do. But Kelly is someone that they could kind of use on Raw. Like, I don't think she's fantastic or, like, reached Trish Stratus levels quite yet in her development, but she has the potential, I think. She's gotten that much better, at least.
Right. No, I mean, it just it's going to take more work to get her there, get her to Trish level, but she's getting there. You can tell she cares.
Yeah, and I mean, if leaving Mickie James and Beth Phoenix out of the mix on Raw might be a benefit to her. I mean, I think she might be one of those women that, I mean, although they still don't concentrate on them much, she'll be in the mix as far as, like, you know, what they do in the women's division.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll always be around the title belt hunt. Like, maybe she'll never really have it that much, but I bet you they'll always push her to that territory, so.
So real quick, do you want to go over the details of the trade, just so we get that out of the way? So Raw gets Melina, the world's worst babyface in the history. Eve Torres, who's not bad to look at. And the Bella
Twins. Yeah, who are going to be arm candy for the most part, probably.
Right. And
Eve Torres is another one where I think I'm always surprised at her Twitter and how much she wants to do the jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
She kind of does that kind of basic kind of wrestling. Like, I think she's kind of getting there. Like, she's semi-realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of, they kept on saying how much bigger she was, and I did kind of realize she is a bit kind of big for the women.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, I don't know, maybe she's like only 6'1 or something like that, but she's kind of, you know, in the taller range. She's not a ginormo woman or anything like that, but she's a little bit bigger. Well, what, like, Kelly's like 5'6 or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
And Beth Phoenix is probably a little bit taller than her.
I would say.
Kelly. So, yeah, there was a point in there somewhere. But she's kind of tall still. She's taller than most of the divas, I guess, is what my point is. But she's not, like, the tallest.
Well, and she's not a total fatty like Mickie James, right?
Oh, I can't believe that's even a rumor. I saw you post that. I'm like, you have got to be shitting me. Like, I am glad I'm not on any other message board.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, I would have to kick some bitches' asses, I think. Like, there is no way she is too hefty in any way whatsoever. Because I think
not
I just, Jeremy, it was either you or Jeremy, because we've been the only two recording here, basically. The only three. I was just saying how much better she looked, because they kind of let the, hey, you know, you can cover up a little bit more policy go. And I think she looks a little bit better with a little extra meat on the bones. I thought she looked a little bit worse when she was skinnier. So I'm all for it.
Some girls just look better with a little meat, you know?
Yeah, and she is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fact that's a rumor is just, man, if it's a true rumor, like, I think I need some to beat some bitches.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of Mickey, she and Beth Phoenix go to SmackDown, which I think is a case of the rich getting richer, because SmackDown is already the show I want to see, and now they add two of the women I most want to see. So.
Yeah, and she might be the black hole of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that Michelle McCool can put on a pretty good match with both Beth Phoenix and Mickie James.
Right. She's very athletic. I'll give her credit for that.
Yeah, like, I don't think she's all that bad in the ring, but her charisma-less delivery and everything that she does just murders that in-ring talent.
Mm-hmm.
Just a black hole of charisma. I don't understand.
awful. She's awful, and she wouldn't be the champion if she wasn't dating you-know-who, and that's just bullshit, but that's wrestling, so...
Yeah, but I think the two women that do actually have enough leverage came to that league.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, I, you know, Melina, I, you know what, I actually come to think of that, maybe that's the better thing is that they kind of have the people that are more in their league on the one show, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good
thing. Again, McCool's in-ring work, I think, is pretty good. So considering, you know, at least she has half of the package. Like, the other women they have on Raw now are kind of still all developing.
Exactly.
Is there anybody else on SmackDown, or is it... Oh, Natalya.
Yeah, Natalya, who's another one that's a pretty good worker.
Yeah, so they have four really good workers on SmackDown now in the women's division that they can flip around.
Yeah, and that's pretty nice. That's a pretty good number. I would say 4 to 6 that you can really concentrate on is about the right number.
So. Yeah. Yeah, because really on Raw, if you really need someone just to, you know, wrestle a match, you can always actually have the Bella Twin do that. They'll never get near the belt, really, I don't think. But you can at least use them as a prop to get over whoever the next badass is supposed to be.
I don't know if I brought this up on audio before, but somebody on one of the message boards I go to has said if you watch the Bella Twins segments and think of them as hookers, you see no discrepancies whatsoever. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's still kind of funny how much, even though they always say that they're trying to be decent and BPG, they're still always trying to get by with some stuff. What was DX saying this week? Oh, what dumb fucking sexual reference did Triple H make backstage?
Well, if you're asking me to remember what he said, you better ask somebody else, then.
I'm like asking somebody to remember something during the Sominex timeout, you know?
Fucking every time he grabs the microphone, he puts a sleeper hold on me. So, I don't know. I'm sure it was something terrible and stupid and hurt the business.
And I'm just... Wow, I read the one segment, and I'm like, no, I don't think that's it. It wasn't the beginning. Where the fuck? Yeah, see, we're organized today, kids. This is the way we're just going to roll.
I don't know. Well, we put as much thought into this audio as WWE puts into their weekly product, so...
pretty much all of the wrestling world, unfortunately...
They asked Al Snow one time when he was in ECW, how does Paul Heyman book the matches for the house shows? And he says Heyman walks around with a blindfold.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably how they book Raw. Just, yeah, okay. You two wrestle. That kind of thing.
Yeah, no, you know what I just realized who it was that was trying to get away with something that I'm just like, they're still trying to be, like, sexual?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is Santino saying he faked every organism he had when they were together? And I'm just like, how is that for kids? Like, seriously?
It's not.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, we're PG, we're blah, 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 we're nice people. And they're still trying to – maybe it was Triple H a week or – maybe it was Triple H last week that was trying to slip something in. That's why I don't remember it. It was
probably
Santino this week. Like, every week they try to slip something in, and I'm like, dude, you guys are so – you guys so don't want to do this, but you know that this is where the money is right now, so that's the way you're doing it.
Yep.
And if they just kind of almost really fully admit that to themselves, they would probably be better off. Like, I think they could still write better even for that audience.
Sure.
I don't think you need to go highbrow with wrestling, really, to get it to go over. But for some reason,
never
they...
highbrow anyway. No one would take it seriously as highbrow entertainment in the first place. So why kid yourself?
Yeah, and they still seem like they do a little bit. And that's a bit of a problem, I think, for them.
Mhm. Yep.
So, anyway,
do you want to do a quick rundown of Raw with the highlights?
Well, we covered the Divas stuff for the most part because obviously Melina won the belt there after the whole little schmoz of, hey, this is the way it's going to happen, so that we can have this trade happen. Because, I mean, it is a good idea to not have Mickey lose directly to Melina, you know. If at some point they want to wrestle them, maybe if Melina ever gets to not be terrible, which I doubt will happen.
And good for Jillian Hall, who used to be a good wrestler before she became a gimmick and a plastic creature. So.
Yeah. No, she was never a bad wrestler. I thought that she did a good job of teaching some of the younger women. You know, she for a while they fed her some of the up and comers.
Yep.
And you know, that's a good place for her, I think. You know, I don't think she's a great wrestler, but she's at least a good wrestler.
Mhm.
She's definitely worth paying, and yeah, they just kind of made her a gimmick. And
right.
She could use the boost up on Raw, really.
No, good for her. She's milked that gimmick for so long. She never has to work anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just come out and sing and be stupid. So, definitely worst things in the world.
Yep. Just like Chavo. There could be worse things in the world, I suppose.
Sure.
Rather than working a 3 month long plus fucking gimmick with a midget.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, honestly, still, I even feel bad for Chavo at this point. Like, I don't care what he says.
Right.
I feel bad for him, and I hate Chavo.
Yeah. It's, well, you know he's just saying it to keep his job.
Yeah. Like, he really does realize, like, seriously, guys, like, I could be not getting paid right now, so fuck off. Like, I mean, that's literally what he is saying with in his subtext.
Yeah.
He's trying to be nice about it, but you can definitely read that it's in there.
Oh, definitely. And when he does finally get fired, that's going to be a shoot interview I want to hear, you know? I can tell you that.
Yeah, that will be quite amusing. we wanted to do the Raw thing here, I suppose. So
sure.
We have the cheapy match that's set up by Miss Odell between Big Show, Chris Jericho, which kind of ends up being fucking... It was a count out, and they really didn't work much of a match.
No.
Which is good for when they actually break up.
Right. You know they're going to break up and wrestle at some point, so...
Yeah, and I mean, I still think it's going to be a while until that occurs, but, you know,
I hope so.
best to kind of leave it on the periphery for the time being. So, you know,
sure.
I mean, I think they did the right thing with that match, really, in, you know, in storyline terms. In actual, you know, execution, it's just like, this kind of sucks, you know?
Right.
You know that they're doing the right thing, but unfortunately it just kind of blows to watch the match.
Yeah, that's right. That's the perfect way of putting it. I like that. Like, I'm totally on board with what they're trying to get to, but boy, does it suck watching them get to there. So.
Exactitically, as Slick would say.
Oh, I wouldn't buy a used car from Slick, no way. Anyway.
And then we have the two women's matches there, and something, oh God, Santino. Oh God. Yeah, Cody Rhodes wins the, this whole bragging rights thing, like, I mean, I don't think we really need to get into the whole pay-per-view, but I mean, I suppose we need to talk about this in some way. The bragging rights team for Raw is really weird.
Yes, thank you. Yes. It's preposterous.
Like, I don't necessarily mind the people involved, really.
Right.
But it's just such a smorgasbord of good guys and bad guys that it's like, wow, this is really strange. Like, a 7-person team. Like, if they'd gone with, like, maybe a 4-person team, maybe it makes a little more sense. You know, you have 2 good guys and 2 bad guys on each side. Like, 7 is just such a weird fucking number. Even if they'd gone with 6, if it would have gone with 6, I think it would have worked better even.
2 points that Jordan made on the audio that's going to get posted tomorrow. First of all, a multi-man tag team match on the pay-per-view right before the fucking Survivor Series. Right? What the fuck? And then number 2, why would the heels want to be with the babyfaces? Why would they even want to be on that team? They hate these guys. They want to team with them? Huh?
Yeah, no, I did not even think about the Survivor Series thing. Oh my God. That's awful.
It's just cutting the balls off the Survivor Series.
Oh my God, that's awful. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't think about it in those terms. Like, I am so numb about, honestly, like, taking in the totality of wrestling at this point, that maybe there are some points like that are kind of obvious that maybe I should have seen.
Right. But that's what they want. They want you as dumb and zombie as possible so they can just sneak their crap by.
Wow, yeah, that's, oh my God, yeah, no, that's worse than the, you know, yeah, there is no reason the heels, like Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, like, it would have been like, why not just lay down and say, hey, John Cena, fucking pin me.
Yes, exactly.
And it's just like, well, and not only that, like, if they have the match before the Iron Man match, then they can wear him out in the 7-man tag team match.
Yeah.
Or if Cena has the Iron Man match beforehand, he is that much weaker for the 7-man tag match afterwards. Like, there's no downside to John Cena being in that match. None.
No. Exactly.
Whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. So lay down. Why do you want to be in that match?
Well, I didn't even think about it from that perspective. Wow, goddamn, man. Yeah, I'm a bit of a zombie these days. Like, I'm not even afraid to admit it. Like, I think I'm falling asleep at the wheel.
Everybody is these days. I don't blame you. But it's ridiculous. It's shameful.
Oh, man.
So, I knew I'd get angry. I knew I'd get angry. And here I am.
Oh, man. Okay, well, okay, ridiculous bragging rights match. Oh, yeah, it's... And then we have the even it up. We've had a long feud. Let's have another weird blow-off match. Jack Swagger MVP.
What?
2.5 fucking minutes long. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I couldn't believe that it was that... Like, I guess I wasn't completely surprised by the result because,
right.
like, he was kind of getting back a win, really, since he had lost MVP on pay-per-view. So I'm like, okay, I can kind of understand the result. Like, again, it's like, well, it's the opposite, this one. Like, I liked the result before. I didn't like the method. This time I like the method, but I don't like the result.
Yeah. Very good way of putting it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like maybe it's not always the same problem all of the time, but they seem to kind of flop between problems.
Right. So they find multiple ways to be fuck-ups. So they're painting with a very broad brush.
Yeah, and, you know, and just nothing else is... can be considered more of a fuck-up, too, than the next match for bragging rights, which was Kofi Kingston against Evan Bourne. Like, why in God's name are you having Bourne job this much?
Right.
Like, I don't mind, you know, whatever. They really, like, for whatever goddamn reason, I can't figure it out, but they honestly believe in Kofi Kingston. Which, okay, whatever, I can live with that decision, but why are you having him? You have so many other people on the roster that you could use.
Yeah.
And why you use Evan Bourne to job to him. Have Evan Bourne, for all I care, like, if you're going to bury him on Raw, have him be the Raw representative on every Superstars match.
Sure. Yep.
Like, I would be much happier with that decision than him jobbing to somebody in 3 minutes every fucking week on Raw. And then still, like, every now and again, just throwing him enough of a bone that he gets a win over, like, Chavo Guerrero, like, once a month. It's like, oh, the fans think he's great again. And then he jobs 3 straight times. It's like, stop this, please. Like, you're killing me.
Here's what they don't get. They're telling us that this guy is a bum, right? And okay, if you want to treat him like a bum, I'll buy that. He's a bum. But then you have him win against somebody important, and that just makes the other guy look like shit. It doesn't build him up at all. Why don't they get that?
I'm not sure, like, you know, we are really not asking for a whole lot at this point. Like, we are so beaten down.
Right.
That it's just like, come on, we are looking for anything at this point. Like, we're not asking for, like, a miracle here. We're just asking for things to kind of get done right. Like, whatever, your decisions are your decisions at this point, even if we don't agree with them. Like, you can still execute better.
Exactly. Look, I mean, the basic tenets of wrestling are so simple that any even internet fan, if you put an internet fan in control of the company, they'd keep it afloat because they understand the basic tenets. But they're getting everything wrong right now. Just everything.
Oh, man.
And it's just, like, fucking, it's so simple, even if Scott Keith could do it. So.
Yeah, and you know what? There is... And then the main event really doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
None.
Again, going back to the John Cena just could have won the first match.
Uh-huh.
And then for some reason, Cody Rhodes turns on Randy Orton for no reason, really, whatsoever.
No reason.
You know, they could have helped each other out in one way or the other. Like,
well,
you know, they...
Basic question. Real simple, basic question. Cena and Orton have been feuding for 5,000 years. If you're booked to team with your arch enemy, why would you? Why would you show up for that match? You should be like, hey, I don't like this guy. I don't know what the hell you're trying to pull, but I can't stand being around him. So I'm not going to show up for that match. You can fine me or whatever you want to do. I don't care.
I am more than likely going to get my ass kicked 3-on-1. Like, why should I be here?
Right. I don't want to risk potential damage to myself, so I'll pay the fine, and I'm out of here, you know?
Yeah, and that was the one thing about Miss Odell's reign over Raw that I guess would be a bad portion to it. Like, she acted like she was granting John Cena a favor by, you know, making this match.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that it turned out, it was in his favor. But really, it should not have been whatsoever.
Not at all. The match that should have never taken place. Taken place? Whatever.
Yeah, taken place, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of painful,
yeah,
to say the least.
Yeah.
And like I said, we've maybe hit a couple extra levels for ourselves with the... We were maybe thinking in the first place.
And, you know, I knew I'd get angry, and here I go. So, I apologize, but this is just really frustrating.
Yeah, well, I think that really does it about for Raw, really.
Yeah, that's the summation of that.
I think we have a little bit of time here. Do we want to go with the other taped program, or would we like to hit on the big news of the week, I would say?
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's more interesting to me and more relevant to society. So let's go over
rock and roll. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, our good friend, Captain Lou Albano, has unfortunately ceased to exist at the age of 76.
Yes, indeed.
I'm missing the story. It was cancer, was it not?
No. No, Don Marie made it very clear that it is not cancer. It could be any other ailment that ever existed, but it's certainly not cancer. So, I would like to believe that he died on the wagon trail due to dysentery. that's how I'm gonna, take it.
Yeah, he was in full force, at least in managerial skills, when I was growing up there.
Okay.
I don't know. He was always kind of influential in a way. Like, I remember him before he did the whole Cyndi Lauper thing, really.
Okay, yeah. In the 70s, he was one of the major wrestling managers, along with him and Grand Wizard, I would think.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I realized he had more of a history, but I think I caught at least some of it before he really went, like, It always seems to me like he went kind of ridiculous after the Cyndi Lauper stuff. It's like, oh my God, okay, whatever.
Probably then.
I don't know why, but I think I just got out of him after that point. So, but I liked him before that.
Okay. From what I saw, I was never a fan of his. I never really liked the guy's work, but it's sad to see him go. Anybody who's not like a total asshole, it's always sad to see him die, but don't want to dance on his casket, but I'm not going to watch old tapes of his either. So.
Yeah, like I said, I think it was a short span time that I think I really liked his work there. But it kind of sucks. Like, it continues the year of the celebrity death.
Yeah, they're cleaning house this year.
Yes, they are. And did you happen to see the South Park season opener about the celebrity deaths?
I did not.
I know they have it online now because they usually have it like the day after, and it was last week, so it should be up on their site.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, Michael Jackson did not want to leave Purgatory, so it was kind of a funny story that connected there.
Gotcha.
With the afterlife. And Captain Lou might be waiting there for his ride to heaven or hell there in Purgatory because of Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be headed there after the audio is completed, so I hope other people do as well. Cheap plug.
Yes. Other stories that we could talk about before getting to ECW is what's his name? Todd Grisham is getting married this weekend.
Yes, sir.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Old Todd is not gay.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, he's really the last couple of years become a great announcer. So that is to his credit. He took time and dedicated himself.
And you know what? I actually honestly thought that he was married already. Like, I guess for some reason I always thought he had a ring on his finger. Like, I really don't know why. Like, I sat there and I'm like, huh, I thought he was married for some reason. I don't know why, and that was one of those things, like, my fucking girlfriend from high school always taught me to look at people's ring fingers, so I still do to this day, actually. She was so obsessive about it that I always pay attention still.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah, I can be a bit of a psychopath that way.
Well, if you need to know, it's really good to look. So.
Yeah, especially when you're hitting on women, it's good to look.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do we, we're kind of, in here about 50 minutes or so.
Sure.
We want to roll over ECW here then? We can't seem to expound on anything else, so, I mean, we could squeeze another 5 minutes out of here.
Okay, well,
5-10 minutes.
You got it pulled up, so go ahead. You can start us off. I'm pulling it up right now.
Okie dokie. Ezekiel Jackson. Mildly disappointed in his match with Goldust. Like, I think Goldust held up his end of the bargain.
Gotta say, he's been carrying this into the deal pretty consistently lately.
Yeah, like, I don't think I'm going to be putting him in, like, any kind of upper-tier mix or anything like that at this point. But, like, he is definitely, like, if he had been this motivated, like, for the last, like, 10 years or something like that,
yeah,
we would have thought about Goldust Dustin Reynolds in a whole different light, honestly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He would have been one of those guys that just stuck around for a long time, maybe got a push at some point just because he had been around and just, you know, existed at that, like, you know, I'm helping to train the young guys kind of area.
Sure.
You know, I think he has that ability, and it's just like, you know what, why not use it? And, like,
right.
He really, like you said, he seems motivated for the first time in God knows how long.
Long, long ass time. Mm-hmm.
So, you know what, I don't think that Zeke kind of stepped up to his end of it, like, you know, so, like, yeah, I'm not really bagging on Goldust for, being the problem in this match. I was expecting a little more out of him, and it was about a 6-minute match, so, I mean, it wasn't, like, an epic or anything, but for an ECW non-main event match, that's a pretty, you know, healthy-sized match, I think.
Yep.
So, like, he should be able to do his end of the work in that. Like, there's enough time frame in there that, you know, should get a better gauge on him, but unfortunately, I'm a little disappointed.
Zeke kind of works like the guy he reminds you of, Ahmed Johnson. Not very smooth, not very fluid, but
yeah, I can see that. Like, I thought he had a little bit more hope than that, but wow, I think that match was a bit of a problem for him more than it was a solution. Like, even though he won it.
He's still pretty new. Give him time, I guess. See what happens.
Yeah.
But you're right.
That,
it's not a promising start, anyway.
Yeah, because I think as somebody else who had just a dreadful promo, unfortunately, and
right.
One that I do not think was off the leash of the writers in any way, shape, or form. Like, I'm guessing that there are other people that have a little more leeway than Mr. Sheamus here.
I agree.
In the ring proved on the mic, maybe not so good.
Yep. I agree with
so,
that.
So, you know, yeah, if he's having it scripted for him and that's all the better he can do, he.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Good gravy.
We are live, folks. Yes.
Yeah, and it's already been sippy time, beer time for the whole show, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Grandpa did not wait for the end of the show for this one.
No. And
so,
shouldn't either, so.
Yeah, please, dear God. Good Lord, the pointless of most pointless matches. Paul Burchill and Hurricane Helms.
Oh, these are two guys I want to fucking nail to the cross, man.
Go ahead.
It might have been Jeremy who said that Burchill just needs the right opportunity, but they've given him 3 now, and he's just not going to get over. And Hurricane Helms might be the most useless guy on the roster. And no one cares about, is it Gregory Helms under the mask? I don't know. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of it this week. Well, maybe not. Oh, we got to get that mask off him. Well, we can't. Fuck that.
Yeah, Burchill's beaten him twice.
Right.
He could have taken off. The first time he, like, really whooped his ass, and he really just could have went and pulled off the mask, and that is end of story right there.
Yep.
But for some reason, he's like, woohoo, I'm victorious, and I'm walking out of the ring. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
And he could have done it again this week. It's just like, dude, just pull the mask. That's the solution. Just pull the mask off. Like,
beat him
why
down,
is this?
Pull it off. Come on.
Yeah. Why is this not etiquette? Why is this not etiquette? I don't understand. Like, the kids' lives are not going to be shattered when they realize that Hurricane Helms is Gregory Helms.
Right.
You know, they're not finding out that Santa is not real.
Right. Oh, man. I don't
know. For God's
sakes. That was a pretty crappy match, too, as far as my opinion goes.
Helms still can't work. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm still kind of a bit with Jeremy. Like, I just think that every time they give him an opportunity, they give him a shit partner to work with. And, like, I don't think Helms is that good to work with.
No, he's
and,
not.
And I can't remember who else he has been up against. Oh, God, they had what's-his-name, Buzzsaw all over him when he went to SmackDown. R-Truth.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I actually remembered his name instead of calling him K-Quick, so Jeremy, fuck off if you listen to this.
I still call him Quick Trip, so.
Yeah. Well, I have a tendency to call him K-Quick still for some reason. But yeah, R-Truth. Like, I think, like, right when he went over to SmackDown, when Virgil went over to SmackDown, they had him run into the Buzzsaw at that point that was R-Truth. And it's just like, well, what the fuck? Like, how are you going to get off the ground if you get your ass kicked in your first real feud? They had him lose the first match against the Hurricane. Was it the first match that he lost?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he lost the first one, won the second one, and then won this one. So it's just like, well, you did they did too much damage. Like, if he had won the first one, lost the second one, and then won the third, you're like, oh, okay, the bad guy won. But because of the order that everything was done, it's just like, he's still a fucking boob. Like, that's
here,
the problem that I have. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily been his in-ring work. Like, I still think he has some development time, you know. Again, like, I don't think I'm trying to get this guy into the main event or anything, but
sure.
I think he should be maybe a slightly higher station than he is at right now.
A usable mid-carder.
You raised
two good points there. First one is, you're right, he has no opportunity to show anything when he's up against a total bum like Hurricane Helm, so... Yep, you're right about that. I will take back my criticism of him. It's hard to judge when you're up against just a complete waste of space like Helms. Of course he's not going to impress. And the second thing, like you said, the order of the wins, that's an easy thing to fix. Just like what we were talking about earlier. You know, just if you want to do it that way, at least do it right.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so annoying. Like, it's little fixes that, even though we don't necessarily agree with what they're doing, like, it would make the wrestling more enjoyable if they just did it the right way.
Yep.
You know, it'd be like, oh, okay, like, I probably would not zone off and not think about those three things that, like, were beating me over the head watching Raw that I forgot about.
Sure.
Again. Yoshi. Christian and Yoshi have another fucking thank you segment. Please, dear God, make them stop.
Stop.
Dear God.
Stop it.
Stop it. Like, okay, Yoshi, it does help with Christian being that cool with Yoshi to help him look better. Like, I think that gives him an extra little veneer that maybe his, you know, because they didn't really talk up either of his wins but over Regal or Zack Ryder until after, you know, they both got their shot at the title. So, like, his wins kind of got buried at first, but now they're kind of, like, digging them up.
Yep, exactly.
And Christian is the right guy to help dig those up and go, oh, okay, if he's endorsing him, then, hey, you know, he's worth fucking paying attention to. Like, that is actually the right way to do, you know, like, that's the right way to dig out of the hole, at least.
I agree.
And so, you know, and there is, like, and that's the other thing, is that every now and again you see, like, that glimmer of hope. You're like, oh, my God, they actually got this fucking right. Like, holy shit. Like, mm-hmm. This actually could have been planned. Like, you're like, oh, my God. Did they actually plan something out?
And then you have heart failure. End up in the hospital.
I did like that Yoshi dropped green in his tights this week. I must admit, for the art of wrestling, it's not something that I usually bring up. So I try to bring it up on the shows. Red and green just always looks too Christmas, even though he had a lot of silver before, too.
You're right. Well, silver, red, like a green. Decoration of the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't probably help the suggestion at all.
Right. Silver.
So, yeah, I think he just went red and silver this week, and I think that's the way to go.
Much better, yep. I don't know why, but I'm glad you brought that up, because last night I was actually thinking about color schemes for wrestlers and how important it is. So, very good. We're on the same page.
Okie dokie. Well, I think we have certainly covered enough for this edition here. Jeremy and I are going to do our best to pump out a preview for TNA's Bound for Glory sometime this weekend. So anybody listening now, we're going to try to bang another one out. Do you have anything that is in the Dusty pipeline that is pimpable?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I alluded to earlier, about 50 minutes prior, me and Jordan are going to – we started one. We're going to complete it tomorrow. So you'll have another audio with me to deal with tomorrow, if Jeremy posts it. We're going to be talking about the state of things. You know, kind of what we brushed over here tonight, me and Jordan are going to go into in detail about what they're doing wrong and what they can do to fix it, kind of thing. And we're also going to look at WWE's failure to get people over the last 5 years. You know, their new developmental talent. They have quite the list of failures, and we're going to go more in depth on that, too. So.
Yeah, there is a lot of excavating that can be done there, for sure.
Yes, sir.
You know, yeah. We're definitely brushing over the short term in what you guys are going to be covering there.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to get depressed again, so. If you like hearing Dusty get stomach ailments and heart failure, you know, be sure to tune in as well.
Yeah, well, Jeremy and I are just both hoping we don't have a brain aneurysm doing the Bound for Glory preview.
Oh, man, I'm so glad it's you and not me. No offense. No offense.
Oh, okie dokie. Well, on that note, I think we can wrap things up here, huh?
All right. Well, my name is Dusty Giebink, and I am signing out then.
And since Grandpa has already had 3 sippy time beers tonight, 32 ounces of Miller Lite, then 32 ounces of Samuel Adams Cherry Wheat. And I've got to admit, that is quite tasty. I do not like fruity beers. I'm not a fruity beer guy. But that had just the right amount of cherry in it, and just in enough wheat that it is really fucking good. And I'm not surprised that it's Samuel Adams that pulled that off.
Yep.
You know, it is not too fruity. Like, most beers just get too fruity for me.
Sure.
Like, I can appreciate the Hoegaarden or something like that. So anyway, cherry wheat, and then, I've been sipping on a Miller Lite here, too, at home. So you grandchildren, have a good night, and both of us will see you soon.